Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Come see your locally owned and operated Linton Glass for all your glass needs. No matter what glass you need to replace, you can count on Linton Glass. Call us today at 601-835-4336 or find us on the web at lintonglass.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday night, round two. We're going to try this again. This Christmas Eve edition of the Rebel Report podcast. My name is Michael Forkey. I always appreciate you being here, especially as the holidays are approaching. I'm very thankful for all of you as we approach Christmas. I want all of you to be safe, by the way. I know traveling is a big part of the holidays, especially this one. And so if you are traveling, if you had to work today, but you're hitting the road tonight or tomorrow, be safe out there. And because I want to see you when we get back to talking about playoffs and Sugar Bowl and Georgia and all that stuff, which we will not be doing on Thursday, by the way. I think I'm going to take Christmas off if that's okay with you guys. I've been joking on the radio show that, you know, this is true. This is the first time that I will not spend Christmas in South Carolina since kindergarten, which is when my family moved there. So, I'm going to take a couple of days tomorrow and Thursday, if that's okay with you guys. And we'll be back Sunday, getting you locked in and ready for the Sugar Bowl and Georgia, but be safe. I'll be thinking about all of you. I know that the radio show is, you know, what pays the bills, and that's kind of the bread and butter of what we do. But, this little side deal that we do here is also really cool. And I'm very thankful for all of you. And I'll be thinking about you this week as part of why I'm so blessed in my life. And you guys are a part of that, because I couldn't pay my bills without you guys, whether you're here or a listener of the radio show or both. And so thank you guys, and be safe and have a very happy and merry and joyful Christmas. And after this hopefully short stream, we will see you on Sunday to get ready for New Orleans. But I do want to talk about Ole Miss Georgia. Got some thoughts on my mind, especially after I got a text on the radio show that kind of is going to spark the conversation tonight. Then we'll read your comments and then we'll get out of here. But I want to invite you, please, to subscribe if you have not already. Just hit that subscribe button. Leave a comment if you're watching after the fact, and a like. And wherever you get your podcast, just search for Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That is the website. You don't need to live in the area to get a great car buying experience. Check out their online inventory. It's worth making the trip, because they'll give you $1,000 off on me if you just tell them that I sent you. Simply just $1,000 off if you tell them that I sent you, because that's what they do at Toyota of Brookhaven. They will deliver. They will take care of you. Great in-house financing and more. Check them out at Toyota of Brookhaven. So I got, we got a message on the radio show, and it was just quite simply, at what point is Ole Miss going to start getting credit for simply being good, is kind of is what he said. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that was the premise of the message. And it was centered around the fact that nobody's giving Ole Miss respect for the win over Tulane. And I understand why. There were 17-point favorites. It's an American Conference team. But that is a kind of a prevailing theme with the last few years, quite honestly, of Ole Miss football. There's always been a caveat. There's always been an excuse. You know, up until this year, it was, oh, Lane can't win the big game, or you can't win the big game at Ole Miss, or, oh, the portal strategy, that's not sustainable. That'll die down eventually. And the Ole Miss rattles off 50 wins in 5 years. And now it's become, oh, well, the schedule was easy. So 11-win SEC team. Ah, but the schedule, no, it's not impressive, because the schedule, and, oh, well, winning a playoff game, who cares? No big deal. It was just Tulane. And Oregon's not getting that treatment right now at all. They're not getting hyper discredited for beating James Madison in the playoff. At least the energy's not the same. And it's not like they have any championships to lean on to legitimize their program. I know they've been at this level for a while longer, but they haven't really crossed the threshold into a championship winner at the highest level themselves. And their appearance in the playoff last year was a disaster. But Ole Miss's successes are seemingly getting diminished. And now you're getting it too. Well, they're going to suck without Lane. Nah, they're just going to be terrible without Lane Kiffin. And that is a lack of, you know, some of it is just stupid, you know, online fan behavior from people, you know, in Louisiana. But that is also coming from a position of they have not seen what else has happened around, underneath, above Lane Kiffin in his winning 50 games in 5 years at Ole Miss. That's not a flash in the pan. That is years of sustained success. And you can't do that in the SEC. You can't win 10 games a year for 5 years in the SEC without other stuff going right. You know what I mean? It can't just be, well, the coach is good, but everything else sucks. It can't be like that. It is not like that. You cannot have sustained success in the SEC without a whole lot of people in the institution being stable, right? Especially when the coach is a little unstable. That's kind of what makes him interesting. But that concept is not new. That there is, and you know, we talk about it with State fans on the radio show, and they agree that there's almost like this idea that if you're successful in Mississippi, it's fleeting. It won't work. It won't last. And if you are successful, you better get out right away. And it's this prevailing narrative of people that are ignorant to what has been built around not just football, but the athletic department and the university and the area, the town itself, to sustain a level of success. And so what an opportunity next week is for Ole Miss football to, on that kind of a stage, prove that it belongs. But even if it doesn't go their way, how do you fix that kind of narrative? How do you stop people from discrediting everything that you do? And the easy answer is just to win. And look, it doesn't have to be 50 games over the next 5 years, but there is an opportunity and a challenge laid at the feet of Pete Golding. If the program can maintain what it has been in the absence of Lane Kiffin, then you're going to see the narrative go away, right? It has to happen again, because Hugh Freeze did win at Ole Miss. But then what happened? And the cheating is not why he wanted Ole Miss. He wanted Ole Miss because you can win there. It was personal stuff that cost him his job there. Houston Nutt went to two Cotton Bowls, which, again, are playoff bowl games now. So you've had, over the years, now it's not consistent, but you have seen flashes of when competency exists, what the program can be. And now, over the last half decade plus, you've seen an elevation of everything around it. It's not just about the coach. It's everything that's happened around it. So now the opportunity is there over the next 2-3 years. And also the pressure is there to maintain a level of winning that the program hasn't seen, you know, 10 years ago, right? A consistent level of winning. If Pete Golding can do that, then no more of the garbage that you guys have had to deal with over the last few weeks, frankly, when it comes to just simply from narrative and conversation and talking point, will remain. You're looking at a situation right now like at LSU. I mean, LSU's lost three or more games in 13 of the last 14 seasons. They've had a lot of really good years mixed in there, and there's a national championship in the one non-3-loss year. It's a good program. They have high-level resources and everything that comes with it. But even a place like LSU is not near what the quote-unquote narrative says about it. The challenge now is for Ole Miss to maintain this. I think they can. I think a solid foundation has been laid. But it starts next week. And just a few quick thoughts on the game, some initial thoughts, and then we'll get to your messages. Is number one, both teams are different than they were back during the season. But I do think there are a couple of things in Ole Miss's favor that can apply to next week. Number one, offensively, I think that there is a mismatch with Ole Miss's weapons, wide receiver, tight end, etc., versus Georgia's secondary. Ole Miss is one of the best group of receivers in all of college football. They're also schemed well as well, but I don't think that that is something that you can fix all of a sudden. I think Ole Miss just simply will have an advantage there, pass catchers versus Georgia's secondary. And look, we talked about it after the game at the time, and every time it gets brought up since, Ole Miss played three quarters of perfect offense, and they schemed the fourth quarter well, and Trinidad just couldn't complete passes. The game, the environment, the noise, the pressure got to him. And since then, he has improved in that area dramatically. That was his first real, like, true road environment of his career. And it got to him, obviously, because there were open receivers in the fourth quarter. If he just completes routine passes for him, Ole Miss will win that game. They win that game for sure. This will obviously not be a road environment, a neutral site, but he has shown since then, like with their trip to Norman the next week, that he has learned and adapted from that. So you would assume that, you know, the environment won't get to him this time in the same way it did last time. But I do think Ole Miss still has that advantage, pass catchers, weapons versus, albeit a very good Georgia defense and a well-coached Georgia team. Also, something that I think is going for Ole Miss. Now, as you guys know, Georgia scored on every single offensive possession, but Ole Miss up front defensively getting better. Eccles, I think the last few weeks has been better. Franklin has been better. Prince Will has been better. Andrew Jones playing a bigger role, I think, will help in this game in particular, help kind of counter Georgia's physicality a little bit. And then you got a healthy Braxton now, which I think does help the Ole Miss secondary. Now, they're overmatched defensively, kind of a similar problem, but I do think that you are going to get the opportunity to create more pressure on Stockton, and I do think Braxton will help alleviate some of the mismatch in that game. So environment changes. Physically, I think the Ole Miss offense has the opportunity to still be explosive. And the areas in which Ole Miss got pummeled by Georgia, there is at least the opportunity to believe that they are better in those spots. It'll be tough. It's Kirby Smart's Georgia. They're a touchdown underdog for a reason. But you would think that the way they played in Athens, knowing that they kind of shot themselves in the foot and cost themselves that game, should give them a level of confidence that, you know, they don't have to play above their heads. They don't have to be special. They lined up and played with those guys in their house and should have beat them. So there should be no intimidation, no anything, just kind of a loose and relaxed and what should be a confident football team. It's the competition level has increased dramatically. No doubt about that. But the same can be said for Georgia and Ole Miss also. Ole Miss is the best team that Georgia has played since Georgia played Ole Miss. So, you know, they got a challenge on their hands too. I'm really excited to see how Pete Golding handles all of this, the opportunity that is presented. I am really excited about the everything, being in New Orleans, seeing how this team responds. I'm excited. Football's exciting, and I'm looking forward to watching this all and seeing how it all plays out. Hope you guys are as well. Podcast brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered if you are a Mississippi business and you are in the market for office technology. Anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems. If it's technology in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out at absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. And you can bank with me and feel like a priority. It's in the name at Priority One Bank. Hold on, I have to respond to this tweet that was just sent to me. No, actually, I'm going to refrain from that. I'm going to avoid responding to burner account. That's my New Year's resolution, is if it is a burner account or an anonymous person online and they're saying derogatory things to me, I will just simply not respond to them. Because if you're spending your Christmas Eve randomly just kind of hate tweeting at me, I don't know if even responding at all is the right thing to do. There's my New Year's resolution. Because kind of, you know, what does it say about them? That was kind of mean, but oh well, here we are. Hypothetically, in the comments, if Lacey and Chambliss going to LSU, is it possible with Lacey and Chambliss being nicked up, their hypothetical future OC could call plays to keep them safe? I wouldn't think that. I mean, if I had to bet today, if Chambliss wins his waiver, I would bet on him remaining at Ole Miss. Ole Miss people are very confident, actually, in that. No, I don't think it's that it'll go that far. I have had questions about the staff situation. I'm sure there will be more comments on it, and so we'll talk about it maybe. But no, I don't think it would go that far. Because Pete would notice, you know. I don't think that would go down smoothly. And John David Baker, I assume, will be there on the sideline. So if anything like that is going on, you give the heads up to him and you kick Charlie out of the stadium. But I don't think you have to worry about that at all. I hate to hear it, but I hope your Christmas is happy, man. You can't travel home for the holidays either. So I'd go to the Comedy Mothership since you live in Austin. I have got that. That's I've got to go see shows there. I need to see a live taping of Kill Tony at the Mothership. It's bizarre to me how some people think that they don't have a chance in this game when they went to Athens and should have won. Exactly. It's odd. I mean, that group of players that had a second half lead in Athens and just lined up and played with them doesn't have a shot in a neutral site. What are we talking about? What even is that conversation? It's nonsense. That doesn't mean they're going to win the game, but if you think that they can't line up and play with Georgia, did you even watch them play? Good to see you, Austin. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for doing a video tonight. I know it's Christmas, so I just wanted to listen to some Rub playoff content since Saturday night. Well, I appreciate you being here. Austin, thank you for the super chat, man. Hope you enjoy the celebration of Jesus' birthday. Yeah, we'll be at church tomorrow. I think the 6-year-old is going to enjoy this service more than the other ones that he's been dragged to. Because as you can imagine, a 6-year-old at a true church service, because he wants to sit, you know, with the adults, because he's a big boy. He doesn't want to go with all the kids. He wants to, you know, sit with in the big, and also see the band play, because he's super into music. But it gets boring quick on him. So hopefully the candles and all that stuff tomorrow will be good. Am I crazy for thinking that Trinidad Chambliss will be the Ole Miss quarterback next season? If he wins the waiver, I'd bet on it, like I just said. Been concerned about the preparation of the team since I saw that LSU video on Sunday. Please tell me I'm over-concerned about that. I just want them to have a real ball game on their hands. See, Brandon, that's, you know, I've apparently there's one message board that had a few posters that had some things to say about me. And, you know, maybe they're right in their criticism of how much I've talked about it. Here's where I come from on this. It's obviously a bizarre situation and a unique situation. And it's not Pete Golding or Ole Miss's fault. I understand why they have Pete and Ole Miss being they have gone about it the way that they have. I understand the continuity piece, and look, it went great on Saturday. It went great on Saturday. However, sans Charlie, because he's the play caller, I've always had the question, how valuable is a tight ends coach really? how valuable is a wide receivers coach right now, like right now in this moment, especially when, as we learned the other day, you have other people that are running the receiver room, et cetera, when these guys are fulfilling their obligations with LSU when Ole Miss is doing stuff. So you already have a situation in which you have a person calling himself interim wide receivers coach and your current wide receivers publicly talking about how awesome the guy is. So if that dynamic is already in place, what value is there in bringing back the wide receiver coach that is missing, even if they're kind of no big deal obligations, just like a walkthrough and stuff like that? But if they already can't commit fully to being at everything, why bring them back at all? Maybe that's a dumb question. Maybe there is insane value in having all of those staff members back, even though they're not around for everything. Maybe there is. But I don't like the pretending that all, like, this is all good. No big deal, no problem. They're all professionals and they're going to handle this professionally and all is good and this is no big deal at all and you can trust them. College football is a cutthroat business. It is a cutthroat business. And you have these guys aren't going from South Florida to Auburn. Or this isn't one coach going from the coordinator at Ohio State to the head coach at South Florida, who, by the way, Ryan Day's calling plays now because Heartline can't do both. So you've got – it's not that. It is half a dozen staff members that are going to work with not just a rival of yours, but they are going to work for Lane Kiffin, who has – I mean, he is shining a spotlight on the weirdness of the situation at every chance he can get. He is inserting himself into this at every turn, at every chance he can get. He is sharing graphics of your quarterback during the game that he is playing in. That, like, he's doing that. He's essentially taunting everybody with the portal date opening up, and you know that they had a camera crew waiting for those coaches to arrive just to draw attention away from you and back onto them and the, ha-ha, your coaches are coaching for me now. And I don't think it's unfair or out of bounds to question whether or not people that are working for Lane Kiffin can be fully trusted or can give maximum, undistracted, unfiltered, undeterred effort into Ole Miss right now. I don't believe, or I'm skeptical of that. And again, I think Pete Golding's earned the benefit of the doubt. I think that you can trust him. I think that you can trust his judgment. I think that he's handled all of this beautifully. So maybe questioning him is stupid. But this Kevin Smith deal now, this is another layer to it. Because what do you think his primary job is at LSU right now? When he arrives in Baton Rouge, what do you think his primary job is? Get me Kewon Lacy, right? That's his job. That's why you hire him. That's who Lane Kiffin wants for a lot of reasons. One of them is he's an elite player, and the other is to stick it to Ole Miss, who wouldn't let him coach in the playoff. That is his. You know that's his primary job. And this idea, this concept that, oh, they would never do anything that would jeopardize their career. What do you mean jeopardize their career? They all just got fat brand new contracts to coach at LSU for Lane Kiffin. What do you mean jeopardizing their career? Their job, their career now is there. Their job now is in Baton Rouge. Kevin Smith's job is to win games for LSU. And, I mean, there's a clear conflict of interest of time, even if somebody like him were to try to do this with the utmost integrity and honesty, right? Even if he's trying to do that, I think it's fair to wonder if at this point the team is getting everybody's best and maximum effort and attention? I think it's fair to ask that, because you know what Kirby Smart's staff is not doing? Working for Auburn. You know what Kirby Smart's staff is not doing? Trying to take Georgia players to Auburn with them. So I don't like the normalizing of this. That's where I'm coming from. And some people don't like it. Some people want me to stop. And I understand that, and I respect that. I understand that. And look, I'm not talking about intentional sabotage, but I do think but intentional sabotage, what do you mean? Like calling bad plays? Charlie's not going to do that. But I probably should stop. I am talking about this too much. My fear, my position on this is, I just hope that the players are getting undivided, undistracted, maximum effort and attention on winning the game next week, because that's what they deserve. And if they're not getting that, that's a problem to me. And now we know that members of the coaching staff are missing things because they have obligations for Lane Kiffin and LSU. And that, to me, is not normal. And we need to stop talking about it like it's normal, like it's not odd at absolute best. Like there's not a conflict of interest at absolute best. Yes, they're competitors. Yes, they want to win. But they also have obligations to their new employer, too. I just hope that the players are getting the maximum undivided attention and effort that they deserve from everybody involved in the operation. I know you're getting that from Pete Golding. I know you're getting that from the staff that's not going to LSU. You're probably getting it from the staff that's going to LSU. But asking if they are, I think, is well within bounds and fair. Especially when the LSU side of this is taunting, is trying to taunt you. Now, they're the ones sitting at home. But that's what's going on. And I don't know what you can do about it. But I do know that trying to normalize this, I don't think is correct either. The players don't deserve anything other than maximum effort and attention, undivided maximum effort and attention from everybody involved. That's what they deserve. Hello, Borky, from your number one fan. Yeah, something like that. Good to see you, Justin. Thank you for the great content. Been watching a lot more since my senior spring semester last year. Do a great job. Thank you, Gavin. Really appreciate you. Really, really appreciate you. Don't understand why there's a sudden push for powder blue jerseys to go away. I've seen a lot of powder blue hate online lately. Don't understand. It's because it's iconic at this point. It was just overdone. They're just destroying the road jerseys. This is totally overdone. That's all. It's too much. So you're back and forth with the AYS dude on Twitter. Yeah, I don't. It's a stance that I've had on every basically major college football program anyway. The ones that have historical success but keep firing coaches. Like, take LSU out of it. If Florida's such this incredible job, then why don't coaches go to Florida and win? Why do they lose so much? Why are they firing coaches so much? You have people that talk about LSU, Florida, whatever, as jobs where, well, you can just, it's so much easier to win here, and yet they're constantly firing coaches. Auburn people the same way. Well, it's just easier to win it all. It's just so much easier to win here. Then why don't coaches that you hire win there? Or if they do, it's a flash in the pan and otherwise pretty disastrous. Like, Les Miles, yes, won a championship. What else did he do? Ed Orgeron won one. And then what happened? Why can't anybody sustain? It's an elite program that's not as far ahead is not as far ahead as everybody wants to tell you that it is for some reason. And it's like you have results on the field. You have records on the field. You have coaches getting fired. And yet you argue this place wins on its own. Look at how easy it is to win. Then why don't good coaches go there and win? Same thing with Florida, Auburn, et cetera. Ah, well, we just hired the wrong guy. Well, why do you keep hiring the wrong guy if it's so easy to win? Why are they the wrong guy? If they win this game, the national media will have no choice but to give them credit. Absolutely. Have no doubt they can win the game. Me either. Mike with the super chat. Thank you, sir. Really, really appreciate you. Watching Tulane, the defense bent but didn't break compared with Georgia, where they couldn't get a stop. Conflicted on the ability to stop Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, I still believe. But they need stops. I think what Ole Miss needs to do is be a lot more aggressive. Did not get much pressure on Stockton at all in this game. So aggressive in pressure, and I do think that they're not going to be able to just get consistent stops against Georgia. So I think they're going to have to find ways to create a turnover or two. Get a quote-unquote cheap stop in this game. Austin with another super chat. Thank you, man. Really appreciate you. In your opinion, why does the national media hate Ole Miss? I don't think they hate Ole Miss. I don't. Some maybe do. I think it's more they look down upon the state in which Ole Miss is located. I think that's what it is. That atmosphere Saturday was super. Could not have been better. We'll never forget it. It was literally a perfect day. Everything went perfectly. It's a perfect day. Believe in Pete's preparation, but I feel like the entire offensive staff that is currently at LSU will minimally prepare. Like they took out the basketball dunks on the sidelines. Yeah, that's gone. You know what's funny, though, is Pete talked to the players and like the leadership council about, you know, hey, what do you want to keep? What do you want to let go? And it doesn't sound like the basketball goal was all that popular. If you ever want to know what the folks at ESPN feel about Ole Miss, all you have to do is remember what Stephen A. Smith. Oh yeah, I saw that, but that's a joke. I mean, the talking heads at ESPN are the absolute worst of the industry in which I work. You believe the hype if they can consistently beat the Texas, Bama, and Georgia? Who consistently beats Texas, Alabama, and Georgia? Who does that? Georgia doesn't even do that. But I know what you mean. Believe in Pete Golding, have the right pieces around him. Absolutely. And he's built for it too. He's ready for this. Have to have a running game against Georgia. That'll help. Perkins with Andrew Jones is a rotation quarterback spy. I think Jones will be a big factor in the running game as well. Didn't know Jalen Braxton was the brother of Southern Miss quarterback until tonight. Yeah, unfortunately, they lost tonight. But what's the latest of Lacey's eligibility or availability? I mean, he'll play. He's hurt, but he'll play. They'll shoot him up with some feel-good stuff and maybe put a brace on, and that'll be it. Safe to say Ole Miss will need to win the turnover battle. I agree. Got to protect the football. Got to force some turnovers. Makes you feel better that I said that about Chambliss. Things change quickly, of course, in this era, but Ole Miss people feel very confident that he would stay. Chase Parham reporting that the Ole Miss players have voted on wearing the Realtree helmets in the Sugar Bowl. Especially if they only have the road uniforms with the powder blue numbers, the only helmet that makes sense with that is the Realtree helmets, and those look good. You love the Realtree helmets, me too. Michael with the super chat. Thank you, man. Really appreciate you. Merry Christmas. Shout out from Malden High. Glad to see you doing well. Wait a minute. No way. Awesome, man. Thank you. Yeah, I've gosh. I think I put it away. I have an old flag from the old high school, actually, in here somewhere. I don't have it hanging up, but I think it's in that closet back there, waiting to be hung up in here somewhere. That's so cool, man. Great. Thank you. You've seen an episode of Kill Tony at the Mothership. I highly recommend if you're ever in Austin. I've got to. We're going to get a cage match? No, I'm not going to. No, man, I'm not worried about it, especially when, you know, it's just sports conversation online. It is what it is. People worried about assistant coach sabotage in the playoffs just don't understand how competitive a guy has to be to get to this level. They're not risking a shot at a title for a hypothetical. You say that, but their boss did. Their boss did. The guy that tells them what to do did that very thing. I mean, I agree with you, but I don't trust Lane Kiffin. I don't trust him. I don't trust his motivations. I don't trust people that went to go work for him, ultimately. It's not about anything other. I don't know how you can watch how he handled all of it. And yes, I know that there was like the forcing of staff members like, hey, you have to decide now or else. But not everybody left. Not everybody fell for it. Not everybody on the offensive staff left and fell for it. John Garrison apparently had his wife in Baton Rouge to look and was like, no, actually, I don't want that. That's not for me. I can't look at Lane Kiffin's actions over the last 2 months, really, and say, I trust that person and I trust everybody that works for him to do right by Ole Miss. You know what I mean? That's where I'm coming from. Is I hope the team gets everybody's best effort. That's all. That's all. What's the plan from the staff to keep the players away from LSU influencers while Enola? I mean, they're working hard. They're getting out ahead of a lot of it. Oh, hold on 1 second. Sorry. Anyway, no, I mean, they're getting out ahead of it. They're handling it well. You know, again, Pete, Keith Carter, all they're hyper aware of all of this. They are. Why does it seem that when they blitz, they rarely get to the quarterback? I don't know the answer to that. I think that, like with Tulane, for example, they only had 2 sacks in the game, but Retzloff was pressured the whole time. Sorry, I've got planning the trip. That E60 on Lane was all a lie. I bet everybody involved, I promise you, feels like they got played. Hoping Pete getting other coaches into the fold means not all other ones are coming back. Oh, yeah. I mean, look, he's replacing all of them. All the ones that are going to LSU anyway. They've already all been replaced. Sands tight end coach, I think they're still waiting on that. But other than that, yeah, he's already assembled a high caliber staff. The 6.5 line makes me think the Rebs have a shot. They do. I mean, the line is smaller than Miami at Ohio State, and they have a shot. Absolutely, they do. After Ole Miss wins, they'll say anything. Yeah. At that point, you can't ignore it, though. I think Austin said it earlier. You just can't ignore it. Why can't they have 2 different road jerseys? The million-dollar question. I have no idea. I have no idea. You like Patrick Carter? Apparently, the players do. I mean, his resume as a player is impressive. He's really funny on Twitter, as it turns out. But the way, I mean, it's just tweets, right? But when you've got Deshaun Stribling, Deuce Alexander talking about him the way that they do, seems like a really good thing. Got your tickets today. Ole Miss sold out, and Georgia is 16K. Still not sold? Georgia hasn't sold out their allotment. Are you sure about that? That would be nuts if that's true. Maybe they, you know, because they just had to go to Atlanta, even though that's not far, but that's still an extra game. And then maybe they're planning ahead for Phoenix. I don't know. I do hate this about the way the college football playoff is structured. These games aren't on campuses. I mean, you'd have to go New Orleans, Phoenix. I mean, that's a lot. My God, is that a lot? Wow, they told you that today, that Georgia's allotment is not sold out yet. That is wild to me. That is wild. I can't believe that. It's a good sign, though. That is a good sign. Well, I really appreciate you guys. Have a Merry Christmas. Thank you for being here. Thank you for everything that you guys do. I really appreciate you. And I'll see you guys on Sunday. I'll see you on Sunday. Y'all have a Merry Christmas. I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.